Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration, resilient bitch, and one woman called her the over 40 guru to watch in 2017. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this week's Fit and Chips Chats with me, your host, Amanda Thebe. I am very excited to have my friend Monica Bjorn all the way from Sweden on the show today. Monica and I are actually looking at each other on the camera right now, and it's the very first time we've had a conversation. We've become friends from Instagram. We were trying to work out how we knew each other. We just both are so very similar. I think you're the Swedish version of me. And only I wish I was more like Monica, but we won't go there. Monica is, she describes herself as a modern yogi, and she really is, because she's very well informed, and she uses yoga in a very positive way, in a very educated way. Also an awesome strength coach. She's as strong as anything. She's this tiny powerhouse, and I love watching Monica on Instagram and seeing her work out. She describes herself as an educator, concept maker, rule breaker, risk taker. She's also an author of mobility for using yoga for athletes, and is currently writing a book on menopause. I don't know if it's going to be in English, so I'll find out. And she is the director of yoga teacher training as well, which is Yoga 247 in Sweden. So welcome to the show, Monica. I'm so happy to have you on board.
Thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to be here. And I'm so happy we you know, got our time zones together, because it's not the easiest, you know, between the US and Europe.
No, and especially now I'm in Houston, I just feel like it's added an extra hour onto the whole mix. Can you just tell me a little bit more about yourself, Monica? And one of the reasons I didn't tell you Monica's bio is because it's in Swedish. So she's going to translate it herself.
I just want to say to anyone who's listening that, yes, I am Swedish. I was adopted from South Korea, actually, and my native language is Swedish. I do speak fluent English, more or less, but if I say something that sounds really strange, it's because my English sometimes, especially when I get really passionate about something, can sometimes be a bit European-ish Swedish English. So very briefly, yes, I've been working with training and within the field of health and fitness actually since 91. And I've been doing everything, you know, within that field, like many of us have that started in the beginning of the 90s. The thing that what happened in the mid 90s was that I started with spinning, and when spinning first came to Europe, I had the opportunity to work very closely with Johnny G, who was the founder of the spinning program, and I was selected to be one of his international master trainers. So that basically meant that for almost 15 years, I was living in a suitcase, and I was introducing the spinning program in all over Europe and in the Middle East, and actually as far away as Asia and Australia. And made so many different friends and contacts throughout those years, and traveled also to the big fitness shows and health shows and conventions all around the world. And around 1997 or 98, I had been with spinning for almost three, four years. I started to really look like 100 years old in my body, because, you know, if you see somebody who's sat on a bike, And that sort of position stuck with me. And that's how I started with yoga, because I wanted to find more flexibility and a better posture. So I started with yoga at the end of the 90s and being...
Let me just stop you. Did you do yoga because of Madonna's arms?
I did. I actually started yoga before Madonna. So
she copied off you. Okay. Oh.
But yeah, I remember when that happened. And I also remember because Madonna was one of the celebrities that was pivotal to making spinning huge when she said in an interview, spinning is better than sex. Oh my God. That went all over the world. That commented. No, so that's how I got into yoga. And if we fast forward until today, I work as a personal trainer. I have a small personal training studio in Gothenburg where I live. My company also has a part of that is more geared towards education. So I educate yoga teachers, but also mobility teachers. And then I have some different yoga concepts together with a business partner of mine called Johanna. So that's what I'm doing today. And the last few months actually has been I've been totally immersed in this book writing. The book is scheduled to be released in November this year. And I really hope that, you know, if that book helps one woman, then oh my God, I'll be so happy. If it helps 10, even happier. And yeah, we'll see.
So let's just jump right in there then. So what brings you to the menopausing world?
Yes, menopause does.
Yeah, Monica Pitt. So this is what happened is I think we commented on somebody's, I think I did the whole fuck menopause on my Instagram page because I was really like, oh my God, what has happened to me? What's happened to the person I was? Where have I gone? And you were like, yeah, I'm with you. It was the same type of conversation we had. And so then I realized that you were trying to do the same thing I was trying to do. And it was so great. We're just like, we've got this platform. We've got this voice. We're experiencing things. Let's just get the conversation going. And actually, you are in the Menopausing So Hard group on Facebook. And I know that you're a valuable member there as well. But can you give us a little bit of more of a personal story about what's happening
to you? Absolutely. I mean, what happened was that I had, I don't think I'm very different to a lot of women, because what I understand now researching this book is that basically the majority of women that I've been speaking to didn't realize that they had hit menopause or perimenopause before their periods either started to disappear completely, I mean, for quite a number of months, or when the hot flushes started. And basically, that's more or less what happened to me. It wasn't until I started to get the hot flashes that I understood that, okay, maybe this is the reason I have felt so low, so gray without color, so tired, why I've had these really weird skin problems, why from absolutely nowhere in the number of 11 months, I had two urine, what do you say in English?
Urinary tract infection.
Tract infection.
Yeah.
And it needed to go that far for me to understand that, okay, this is what's happening. I'm in this first stages of menopause.
And then really, realistically, so that was your identification, and I had my identification, which was slightly different. And it realistically, myself, when I actually go back, I realized it's probably been 4 or 5 years that it had happened. Because for me, the very first sign was before I got my period, I would have 1 week in my late 30s, 1 week before my period, where I could barely move. I was so fatigued, to the point where I would get a cold every time. I would feel sick, you know, I'd get ill. And it made no sense. And then when I look back, I'm like, oh, of course that's what it was. And so realistically, is that the same for you? If you look back?
I think when I started looking back, I think mine was probably closer to a year and a half to 2 years. Because the thing was that, and that would have made me then, and really I'm crap at this, when people ask me, how old are you? I'm like, always sort of have to have a little pause and think. But that would have made me around 45 when it started. 44 and a half, 45. Yeah, something like that. Because the thing was that around my 44th birthday, I remember thinking that this is just so bloody great. I'm 44. I've never been stronger. I've never been able to lift this heavy. I feel that I could run for hours. And I was just like, wow, I was flying. And then, you know, a year later, and I'm a very easily motivated person when it comes to movement. I'm not one of those people. I've never really been one of those people who had to, you know, force myself to move. And I went from that type of person to not wanting to lift heavy, absolutely didn't want to do any explosive work. I really just didn't have it in me. And it took almost a year for me to realize and, you know, connect, you know, when I connected the dots and then I understood that, no, it's not because, you know, this or that. It's because it's hormonal.
And so how often do we hear that with women? I just don't have the drive. I've lost my mojo. Like, they lost my mojo is like a big thing that we hear all the time. And it's basically being acknowledged that women as well during menopause lose their belief in their athletic ability. So it's not even just the physical inability to be able to do things because of the fatigue or hormonal changes. It's also the psychological belief in themselves. It's a really hard thing to deal with. So for you, how did you, like, what have been your strategies? Because I know it's an ongoing process. It's not like you're going to say, oh, this is what I do and now everything's fine. And we're not trying to fix anything here. We're just trying to, both of us, I think our message is you have to try and find what's optimal for your body and you have to have strategies. You've got to try and do whatever you can just to make this process easier. So what have your steps been, Monica?
Absolutely. Step one was the realization. What is the problem? And step two was really to start gathering information and gathering knowledge. And I think many women feel a little bit more calm once you feel proactive. You're actually doing something about it. And there is and also just knowing that there was a specific reason to feeling like I was feeling was helpful. And then, as you say, it's gathering the information and from the information, trying to make a sort of intelligent choice in what do I think will suit me, my life, and my body. And I have to say that even if I did have quite a few different symptoms, they were all fairly small in comparison to the stories that I've heard where women have been more or less, you know, they had to stay home from work or they've been bedridden because they can't even get out of the house. So in that comparison, my symptoms were very sort of light. And I very quickly realized that because I think you're probably the same because you're used to movement, so you already do some training. You are educated about what to eat and not to eat, so your diet will be better than most. And I was the same. And I was the queen of sleeping. So sleeping before was never a problem for me. And this was one of the symptoms that worried me the most, that my superpower sleep was taken away from me. And also because the knowledge that we do have about what happens when you go without sleep, like sleep deprivation over a long time, and the side effects that that brings, that was what made me really worried. So number one for me was to fix my sleep. And then if the colors would come back, or I would, you know, feel that my libido would rise, and that would just be an added on bonus, but I just needed to fix my sleep. And also I lost a lot of hair, so that was my vanity. So it's the sleep and the hair, because in the end I could just like pull huge chunks of hair out. So I read up on vitamins and minerals and different types alternative medications that you could take. And I made a choice for myself that I would start with going for the minerals and the vitamins. And I, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, so just tagging on to that, if you don't mind. So yeah. I just want to just say how important that is. Like, my message as well to people is, like, number one, stop trying to fix yourself. First of all, acknowledge that this is a phase of our life. It's a phase that happens to every woman. And so it part of it, I'm not asking you to embrace it, but I'm asking you to just accept it. Acceptance is huge. And awesome. I love that. So that's your number one too. It was realization. And so acceptance, realization to me are the same type of thing. It's like, okay, get over yourself, Amanda. You're perimenopausal. Second thing is, to me, education is huge. Knowledge is power. Since I have spent the last 2 years now actively researching as much as I possibly can, and my views change all the time because research is changing and we're finding out more and more, and we'll dig on that deeper on that in a minute, but knowledge is power. As soon as we start having these conversations with other women, start talking, start exchanging, what does it do to us? It just makes us take that breath. Our shoulders go down. We just go, oh my God, I'm not alone. This is normal. These are all normal things I'm experiencing. But
absolutely.
But now what can I do? What can I do? What can I do to feel better?
And that's also why I love your group on Facebook. Because it is so empowering to share with other women, and to find out what worked for them, what didn't work for them. And just, as you say, knowing that you're not on your own. So I scouted the internet, and also I found great help in, you know, reading up in groups like your own on Facebook. And I also became a member in one or two groups in Swedish groups, on Facebook. And after I read up, I decided to add my own little cocktail, which would then be zinc, magnesium, MSM, which is, I think, the same in English, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Enzyme L-tyrosine, it's called in Swedish.
I don't know that.
A B vitamin complex, which is all the necessary B vitamins. So I started taking them, and for once, I was, you know, really diligent in taking them every single day. And after 4 to 5 weeks, I noticed that I slept better. I noticed that I lost less hair. After maybe 5 to 6 weeks, I was like, oh my God, when did I have a hot flash the last time? And I had to think back. And I realized I haven't had one for several days. And in less than 8 weeks, it was like the curtain went up.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's
Technicolor again. And I haven't had one single hot flash since then.
So, I mean, that's the power of, the power of the internet as well, but it's also got its adverse effects as well, of course, because people read things and then, so one of the things that we've both been very clear on in the beginning is we are not healthcare providers. This is something
absolutely. You can,
if you're not sure, go and speak to a doctor, go and speak to someone who knows. But I have to say, I also have done the same thing because we are twins, as I've already said. And every day, yes. I mean, I can't show you because...
Separated is, by birth.
Yeah. we're on a podcast here, but I have a spreadsheet that I've printed off and it literally is a tick box. And every day, I mean, my things are vitamin D, a collagen supplement, which MSM that Monica mentioned is basically like a keratin collagen type. I don't... The research on that is... It's good, bad. It's not 100% there yet, but it can do you no harm. And so, therefore, I take it. I take a fish oil. I take magnesium. It's the very, very similar things. I make sure I have a gallon of water every day. I'm a big water fan. And I also try and move every day. They're my big rocks. And yeah. So... But the thing is, everybody's journey is so unique. And so you have to try and find the things that work for you. Now, the information on all of these vitamins and minerals is readily available. And so in most cases, it's okay to take them. And if you're not sure, find someone that can help you like navigate those waters. So Monica, you went through these little self-experiments. You saw benefits, you saw change, and you were like, I've got to do something about this. So you started... sharing information. Monica also has her own podcast, but it's in Swedish, so yeah. I won't be listening to that anytime soon. But what else did you learn? And did your views change? Did you sort of think about things in a different way? Did any stigmas lift? Did any, you know, can you delve a bit deeper into that for me? Because I have had the same epiphanies, I think.
Yes, I will do. I will just add one thing, and this is for the ladies out there who's listening, and you are maybe like me and Amanda, very active. So you might, you know, be long distance runners, you might lift heavy, you might compete in CrossFit, you might, you know, do some serious training. And for those of you who are listening who are into serious training, what I also changed was I added a lot more relaxation work. So I added yoga nidra, which is basically just lying down over a bolster, breathing and doing body scan. And I added much more meditation, and I added also much more relaxation exercises, which I have never, I have to admit, been motivated to do before at all. But that also helped. So it meant that I could train hard on the days when I trained hard, but take a little bit more recovery than I would do before the years previously, and then add more time of relaxation work. So that was really also a game changer for me.
Yeah, and I think that it's really fair to acknowledge that recovery can take a little bit longer, and especially if you're overloading the, you know, your central nervous system and maybe your cortisol levels are going out the window. I mean, we do need those stresses in our body, but, you know, it's okay to acknowledge it might take a little bit longer to recover. And the group that we're in, there's a lot of CrossFit ladies there. And one of the common questions is, I've put weight on. I don't understand why. I do CrossFit 5 times a week exactly. And I eat really well. And as soon as they say I do CrossFit 5 times a week, I want to say,
what they need.
So do CrossFit 3 times a week and see if that changes anything. And I'm not saying that to be flippant. And the ladies listening, no, I'm not being flippant. It's just because it's worked for me, and I've seen people change the intensity, not the intensity of the workouts, but the intensity of the number that they're doing each week, and then including more relaxation. And it's been huge. It's a game changer.
It's a game changer.
And I never thought in a million years I'd say, oh, take a day off and go for a walk.
I know, and I'm the same, but you know, this is the process of learning, isn't it? We always learn new things. Yeah, so about the stigma, I've changed my view on so many different things in doing the research for the book. And one of them is that I had this sort of sitting on my bloody high horse, I think, in the beginning of the research, where I was like, oh, but this with HRT, you know, hormones, you want to be on hormones. I was always one of those people. No, I don't want to go on the pill. Why should I go on the pill? Why do women always have to take hormones, blah, 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 blah. And I have to admit that during my research, I'm like, well, you know, for God's sake, if you have really bad symptoms, if your hot flashes and your night sweats are, you know, really, I mean, literally driving you insane because you are having depression, you can't go to work, it's handicapping the whole your whole entire life, then you should absolutely go on HRT, and there should be no stigma around that whatsoever. And I find that a lot of women, it's weird. I don't know. Is it a woman thing? Because I find similar kind of stigma sometimes in some groups of women when it comes to childbirth. Because around childbirth, when I was pregnant and I had women, pregnant women around me, and they would be like, oh no, you know, I want a natural birth. I'm not going to take any sort of pain medication. And I was like, oh, for God's sake, give me all you got. So, and we have this sort of thing of, you know, thinking that our way is the only right way. And I have to say, it has made me, like in many other areas, more humble. The more I learn, the more humble I get.
Yes, and very much so. I mean, the whole, I think women put too much pressure on themselves to be these perfect specimens that don't like to fail. And the idea of HRT or the epidural, if you're going back to childbirth, or in my personal situation, antidepressants felt like a sign of failure. I was talking just before this to Monica, and I said that, you know, one of the big symptoms of menopause for me is migraines and depression. And it's a biochemical reason I've got depression. I've never experienced it in my life. My estrogen is pretty much non-existent, and I can't fight this fight on my own. And so it was suggested I go on a low dosage antidepressant. And I got to the stage where it wasn't just the quality of my life that was impacted, it was the quality of my husband, my children, and everything around it.
Yes.
I wasn't functioning.
Yes.
I was the person that was bedridden. I was the person that was literally ruining my life. And we all experience things differently. I went on an antidepressant and it literally was life-changing. But then, of course, I weaned myself off them, and I've weaned myself off them 5 times in the last 2 years. And it literally is the only in the last 6 months I'm like, okay, I think you need to stay on them.
Yeah.
I think you need to continue to stay on them until you don't need them anymore. And acceptance has been huge for me. And so, women, get over yourself. Do what you've got to do, darlings, to make this work.
Yeah. I mean, another thing that has really struck me whilst working on the book is there is research out there on women, but it's far less than the research that is done on men. So less money is spent on you know, researching women issues, and that makes me so pissed off. But something else that has really struck me is that because all the major studies that are done today, and when I say major studies, I mean those that cost hundreds thousands of dollars, or even sometimes more than that, are of course sponsored by medical companies. And I understand that. And that's fine, as long as you read the results with those kind of glasses on. But there's something that I've really thought about, which is more a philosophical question, is that the research that is done is when you have a symptom that is a problem. It could be an illness, or it could be, like, for example, now menopause, which is not an illness, but it's affecting your life. Then the research that is done is to find a medication that can get rid of that symptom, right? So that means that the sort of patient is then well. But how well is that patient on a scale from 1 to 10? So if being well is a 5, and the medication gets the patient to a 5, what can we do for women then to get to a 10? And there is no research on that. So for that, I would say to the women out there is that, yes, if you go on HRT and you lose the symptoms that, you know, the symptoms that are really making you go insane, like not sleeping for years, and you get rid of your hot flashes and you get rid of your night sweats, maybe add some vitamins and minerals, add the daily movement, you know, add the other things that are there too, to maybe get you from a 5 closer to a 10. You see what I'm saying?
I agree exactly. Like, it's so important to address this, because it's like we were saying, we're not looking for a fix through this phase. We're looking to get you through this phase optimally in the best condition you can. So you have to look at the holistic thing. So you have to look at your nutrition. You have to look at your mental health. You have to look at your physical health. You have to look at your social economic environment around you. I mean, anything that's like detrimental to you right now, you have to see if there's a way that you can do something to change that. Now, the hard thing is implementing those changes, because when you don't feel great, the last thing you want to do is exercise. So it's going to take some experimentation, but I am completely in agreement with you. Like, if you could take a walk every day and that literally took you from that 5 to an 8, because the endorphins were flowing, you were starting to relax, you were enjoying nature, you were actually just enjoying being with yourself, then why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you use that as part of like the the cure, because it's not a cure, but why wouldn't you use that as part of the program to help yourself right now?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I mean. And with that, I want to say that the medication, whether that is HRT or if that is antidepressants or whatever you need to take, whatever you need to do to get you out of that black hole, do it and then add on. Do whatever you need to do to get that life force back. Well, and then add on to that.
So going back to my own personal experience, because it's easy to talk about your own experiences, of course, and each person should listen to this thinking of like where they can go from here. But I'd lost my ability to have clarity. So every day I would wake up and go, oh, here we go. And I was like, maybe it's my husband, maybe it's my kids, maybe I hate Toronto, maybe like I hate being a fitness instructor. And everything was like, there has to be a reason I'm depressed. There has to be a reason for this. And as soon as I took the antidepressant, I was like, actually, yeah, I have a good life here. Why would I change a thing?
Yeah.
And so it just got me past the despondent stage. And then it just allowed me to make changes from there.
And this is what makes me so sad and upset, is that I'm thinking about the number of women out there that might, you know, not have even reflected on what the problem is until it's too late. And they might, you know, been losing their job because they haven't been able to focus because of all the reasons and all the symptoms that menopause brings on. They might have gone through a divorce.
Well, because, I was going to say divorce, because I'm pretty sure that the divorce rate,
if you look when that happens, it's when most divorces in Sweden happens somewhere around that age span where women are in menopause. So it's, you know, I think there's so many different situations out there brought on by this hormonal chaos.
Yeah.
And because there is not enough knowledge spread out there to women, obviously around the world, because you're in the US and I'm in Sweden and we see similar kind of problems.
Yeah, and what I was just going to say to you based on what you were saying about the divorce rates, I have had the same thoughts and conversations with people myself, because, well, one, I think it's the men or woman, whoever you're married to, it's their fault for not understanding just joking. But I think, I mean, if things have been impacted, your work, your relationships, your family life, anything, then you're going to want to do whatever you can to sort of feel better. One is don't give up. Share your story. Find people. Start talking to other women. Like, get the conversation going. Just the lack of feeling isolation. I never spoke to anybody about what I was going on because I was an industry leader who didn't want to look vulnerable. So that's why I never said anything. And I totally got over that because it's been life-changing for me. People in that group that we were talking about literally saved my sanity. I love these women. And I just think that the feeling's mutual because they're like, oh, thank God for that. Like, I'm not going crazy. And so, yeah, keep the conversation going. It's really, really important. Educate the men in your life, or the other women in your life. Educate your daughters, educate your sons. Like, make it part of the process. My kids hate me going, oh yeah, it's the menopause. Well, guess what? When they're married and they have children as well, they're going to get it. They're going to go, oh yeah, you know, my mom experienced it and she was very open about it. So therefore, it's not a surprise to me.
Yeah, because I completely agree with you because no change will happen unless the role models go first.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I think it's also what's been happening in society today, where we live in a society that worships youth. I think there's also been the stigma around talking about menopause because it's so closely connected to women's aging. So it's like, it's that. Mm. It's a natural process. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to age with pride. And I'm still going to be strong. I'm still going to run fast. I'm still going to jump and lift stuff and you know, feel sexy in my own skin. But, you know, menopause is going to have to be a part of that. And I'm going to stand up for that. And I talk about it. I talk about it in my yoga classes. I talk about it with my personal training clients. I talked about it at the weekend where I was in a big event for one of the biggest women 10K runs in Sweden, and they had this training camp and there was over 100 women there. And I talked about it in my lecture. And the feedback, as you say, the feedback that you get, because people are not used to that, it's really time.
It's liberating.
It's
and so
really yeah. time to start that movement. Because I don't know about what it's been like in the US, but here in Scandinavia and in Sweden, like menstruation had its sort of prime time a couple of years ago because there were some young bloggers who started really talking about menstruation, and they wrote a book about it and was like discussed all over the media. And I can feel, okay, now it's the menopause time.
Yeah.
Bring it out there. As you say, talk about it.
It's great. And I'm really glad that you are part of this movement, Monica, because I know you're educated and I know that you really want to help women. And this is where this comes from. It comes from a place of, I have to get people to be okay with this and talk and just really make this a shared experience, even though it's very unique to yourself, make it a shared experience with the women. So listen, we're out of time. I could talk forever. I really enjoyed that conversation. So Monica's book is going to be out in November. I don't know whether, did you say it's going to be in English or just Swedish?
Well, that we don't know yet, because that's going to, what's going to decide that if the book sells at the book fairs. So let me come back on that.
Okay. And the focus on the book is about being strong through menopause, right?
Like, that is the sort of title of the book, and it's going to bring out the subjects within the book is what you can do yourself with food, with rest, and the different sort of treatment methods that are out there.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for coming on. It was a very worthwhile conversation, and I really like it when minds connect and feel the same way. And I know it's not just us two, that's the whole point. It's a big movement of women, and I love it. So
thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor being on your pod. Thank you.
And thank you everybody for listening. Tune in again next week and we'll have more menopausing talk. It'll be great. See you then. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com, or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.